message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
Resting phrase used repeatedly in the epistles of the Apostle Paul when he says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Now there's a comma. I would not have you to be ignorant, comma, brethren. I've said for many years that if you left the comma out of that phrase, you'd have the title of the world's largest denomination, Ignorant Brethren. But it's got a comma in it, and it's not a title. It's a statement. Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren. I don't want you to be unaware of what it is God's doing. When he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, that's in essence the same kind of thing. You see, friend, the Christian life will not operate on the basis of ignorance of God's Word and what God's doing. Now, if you want to know what God's doing, you have to look into the Word of God. You can't look into your human viewpoint. You can't just look at religious tradition. You can't look to external things. You look into the Bible and you find out what God's doing in the Word of God. That's the reason God gave His Word, is to explain to you, is to reveal to you and to me what it is He's doing. The work of God is done by the Word of God, and the Word of God is the thing we need to look at. We need to understand. Your Christian life, my Christian life, no one's Christian life will operate on the basis of ignorance of what God's doing. In fact, the Christian life basically is just the working in us of that which God is accomplishing. And if you're going to have what God is accomplishing, working in you and functioning in you and being the power and the flow and the direction of your life, then it has to be done on the basis of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Again and again, it goes back to the issue of understanding the Word of God. That expression that Paul uses, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, he uses it 6 or 7 times in his epistles. Each time he focuses on very important issues in your life and my life as believers. Now let me stop and say one thing. You say, well, I'm watching the television and I just happen to tune in today and I'm not necessarily a Christian. I don't know if I am. Maybe I'm, maybe I'm not. I don't know if you are. I am. December 31st, 1962, I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I realized that I was a sinner. I was lost. I realized that I needed help. I realized that if I died in the condition I was in my natural condition, that I was going to die and spend eternity in a devil's hell. I realized that, and I didn't know what to do about it. I was a member of a church. When I was 12 years old, I was confirmed in the church. I was christened as a baby, baptized as an infant. But when you got of age, I took catechism, was confirmed, and had the little certificate that said I was a fit member of the kingdom of heaven. But I came to realize years after that I really was lost. I didn't personally know that my sins were forgiven. Well, I had my name on a church roll, and I worked, and I did things of a religious nature, but I didn't really know the Lord so that I knew that I had the forgiveness of my sins. But I realized I thought, well, you know, I'll be religious. I'll do good, do all those things. But then one day, I came to understand that the good news was that God had done it for me, that Jesus Christ had died for my sins. And when I realized that, and I realized that the gospel of Christ is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes, you know what I did? I believed it. I made a conscious choice of faith to rely exclusively upon what Jesus Christ did for me when He died at Calvary to pay for everything that's wrong with me. And that's what makes me a Christian today. That's what makes me a saint. That's what makes me a child of God. And if you've done that, if you've trusted and if you've chosen to rely exclusively upon what Christ did for you at Calvary and His work at Calvary as being the total and sufficient and complete grounds for you to have acceptance before God, the moment you did it, just that quickly, that instant, God Almighty saved you. God Almighty is the God who is the one who does the saving. We don't save ourselves, He saves us. And He does it on the basis of our faith in what His Son has accomplished for us at Calvary, in what we call the finished work of Christ. And the reason we call it that is because when He hung at Calvary, He cried, "It's finished. The job's done. I've accomplished it all." Then He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. He gave himself for us. He was delivered up for our offenses, that we might be justified simply by faith in him. Well, when I trusted Christ as my Savior, God Almighty saved me. I hope you've trusted him. Now, we have a Bible study broadcast, a Bible study program. We're looking into the Word of God. And if you're not a Christian, if you're not a believer, if you don't know for sure that you have that your sins have been forgiven, that you have eternal life as a present possession this moment, oh, my friend, I encourage you, trust him today. Trust him right now, and then get a Bible and study along with us. But you'll be able to see very quickly as you study with us whether you're saved or not. And by the way, if you're not sure about your salvation and you're not sure about your spiritual condition, why don't you write us? Well, you'll see the address at the end of the program. Our announcer will give you the way to either call us on the phone or write us. We'd be glad to hear from you. We'd like to help you. This is a giving ministry. We're not asking you for anything. We want to give you the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But you know, we need to understand that once, as a saved person, Paul says, I don't want you brethren, you saved people, to be ignorant. I don't want a bunch of ignorant Christians. You know, it's amazing to me. The average church you go to, you can drive up in the parking lot and just take your head and unscrew it, catch it, set it on the seat next to you, because you're not going to need it till you come back out of the church building. What goes on in the average church tends to be just sort of mindless repetition going on and on over things that, you know, and you don't need to think. You say prayers, you read prayers, it's just, Paul said, no, 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 none of that. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Well, I want to look with you at some of the places where he talks about not being ignorant, so you can understand what the contents of what he wants you to be knowledgeable and intelligized about are. Romans chapter 1, verse 13. In Romans 1, 13, it's the first time he says this in his epistles. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, there it is, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you, as also even as among other Gentiles. You see, there were people who were suggesting to Paul that he shouldn't go preach to the Gentiles. There were people at Rome saying, oh, Paul doesn't care about you Gentiles down here. He hasn't come to Rome because he doesn't care about you. And Paul wanted it to be clearly understood that there was no problem in his mind with preaching to Gentiles. Now, that had been a problem with some people. You see, there were people that were suggesting, well, Paul, you shouldn't preach to the Gentiles. Don't you know what Acts 11 verse 19 says? It says that they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that rose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews only. And just right after that, you see Paul going out to the Gentiles. And they would say to Paul, you have no right to go out to the Gentiles. But Paul is saying, I don't want you to be ignorant of this fact that my ministry extends out to the Gentiles. In fact, in the Word of God, the inauguration of salvation going to the Gentiles begins with Paul's ministry. The dispensation of grace and salvation going to the nations of the earth in an unrestricted manner, that all begins, it's inaugurated with Paul's ministry. And Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant of the fact that the dispensation of grace that's been given to me is a ministry that goes all the way out to all of the nations. Not just Israel, not just some certain nations, not just some certain races, but it's for every man. Paul had an unrestricted apostleship. If you notice back in verse number 5 of Romans 1, he says, by whom? And that'll be a reference to the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, as in verse number 4. He talks about the Son of God that was Christ being declared to be the Son of God according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. By whom? By the resurrected Christ. We have received grace and apostleship for the obedience of the faith among all nations for his name. Paul had an unrestricted apostleship. Now, I say that's different because that isn't the way the ministry was carried on prior to the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Come with me to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Now, if you'll get a hold of what we're talking about right now, your Bible will become a different book for you. It can begin to make sense to you. You can get beyond the confusion and the stereotypes and begin to have that old book become a new book. Romans chapter 15, verse 8, Paul says, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers." Now look at here. Jesus Christ's ministry in your Bible would extend, we'll say, from here to here. And it's found in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so those books, we call them the four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John contain the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. In other words, these people to whom Christ ministered were the circumcision, that is, the nation Israel. You'll remember that God gave circumcision to Abraham way back in time past back here as a sign and a seal of the covenant that God made between Abraham and his seed and God. And Romans 15:8 says that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. His ministry was restricted to the nation Israel. Go down with me to verse number 15. Romans 15, verse 15. "Nevertheless, brethren, I've written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind that because of the grace that is given to me," that's Paul, "of God, that I should be the minister," now notice, Paul says, "that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ," what? "To the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost." Paul says, over here, here's Paul's ministry over here. Paul says, my ministry over here is a ministry that is designed to be the ministry of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry back here, Romans 15:8, Paul says, was a ministry to the circumcision. Paul says, I have been made by the grace of God. I've been made in the dispensation of the grace of God in here. I've been made the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, to the uncircumcision. And now, my ministry is unrestricted. Our Lord was the apostle of the nation Israel. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, he talks about the holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Look unto Jesus, and he calls him the apostle of our profession. He was there, Israel's apostle. Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles. Paul is the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles in here. And he said, I don't want you to be ignorant of this fact that the inauguration of the dispensation of grace going out to the Gentiles is found in my ministry. Paul's ministry in your Bible is found in the books of Romans through Philemon. You take Romans through Philemon and a King James Bible, and you've got the ministry of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. You go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you have the ministry of Jesus Christ in person on the earth to the nation Israel. Our Lord dies at Calvary, he's resurrected, and he ascends up into heaven. He sends the Holy Spirit back down on the apostles in the Acts period. And then the apostles go out and they witness about the resurrected Messiah. The nation Israel rejects the Lord Jesus Christ, not only in his incarnation, but in his resurrected ministry here in the Acts period. And God sets the nation Israel aside. The Lord Jesus Christ from that heavenly position up there reaches down and saves Saul of Tarsus, who was the leader of the world's rebellion, the chief of sinners, he's called, and gives to him a new revelation called the dispensation of the grace of God. Now, come with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 3 in one hand and Matthew chapter 10. I want you to see the difference in the ministries that are involved here. And you see this and then you understand what Paul is saying when he says, I don't want to have you ignorant, brethren, that that my ministry extends to the Gentiles. That's something new. These people's ministry back here, whether it's the Lord Jesus Christ or whether it was the 12 apostles, their ministry was restricted to the nation Israel. It was to and then through Israel that salvation went out. In here, there is an absolutely unrestricted ministry in the dispensation of grace. And that change in the ministry is what the purpose of the ministry of the Apostle Paul is all about. out. Had it not been for the fact that God changed the program from the prophetic program to the mystery program in here, then there would be no reason for Paul's ministry. But the very fact of Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant of what my ministry is all about. Now notice, Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 and John chapter number 4. John chapter 4. I want to read John 4 first because I want to say one more thing about what Christ, Paul said Jesus Christ is the minister of the circumcision. That's why in John chapter 4, verse number 22, the Lord Jesus Christ says to the woman at the well in Samaria, ye worship you know not what. You don't know what you're doing. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. You know who salvation was of back there? You know who salvation belonged to back there in Christ's earthly ministry? It belonged to the nation Israel. There is a distinction made in God's dealings with men in time past between the circumcision and the uncircumcision, between the nation Israel and the other nations of the earth. And the uncircumcision are down here, and the Gentiles are down here. They're called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. And these people are cut off. And Jesus Christ says salvation is of the Jews back here. Salvation didn't go out like it does in here. This is a different program back here. Matthew chapter number 10. Now this will explain to you what's going on in Matthew 10. Matthew chapter 10 verse number 1. When he had called him unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And the names of the 12 apostles were these. Jesus Christ gave those apostles power, spiritual capacity, and authority. And he gave them power against unclean spirits, and they could cast them out. And they didn't have to talk to them all day long. They didn't have to do, you know, it's amazing. You read passages like that, and then you see people today they profess to be doing what these passages say, and we're obeying the passage, and we're going to cast out demons, but they never do the things the way the verses say. You watch what they do and you say, well, but that's not what the verse says. These men didn't have to go talk to the demons, and they just cast them out to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. They had the credentials and the foretaste and the capacity to speak the Word of God and preach the gospel of the kingdom, but also to validate what they were preaching with signs and wonders following. Now notice verse 5. Christ has commissioned them. He's empowered them. Now watch what he tells them. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you've received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purse, and so on and so forth. Did you get it? Go not into the way of the Gentile. These people back here in the gospel accounts, as they went out in their healing ministry, were not to go heal Gentiles. When he sent them out back here to cast out devils, they were not sent to cast the devils out of Gentiles. He said, go not into the way of the Gentiles. Into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. There was an exclusive, restricted, limited ministry back here. And a limited redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, limited to his chosen people back here. Have you ever wondered why a believer today would get sick? And that believer, his body would hurt, be racked with pain, and that believer would cry out to God and cry, oh God, heal me, and claim and look at verses like that. And go to James 5 and said the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and yet still be sick, still hurt, and still die. My friend, you know the death rate is still one apiece. All of the so-called healers, notwithstanding, is still one apiece. Have you ever wondered why, in the face of verses where Christ sent people to do that, those things, you still have that way today? You know why that is? Because when he sent them out, he said, don't go do this to the Gentiles. This belongs to Israel. This is part of Israel's program. And you see, what God was doing back over here has been changed. And that is what God's doing today. God isn't restricting the thing to the nation Israel today. Now there's an unrestricted, unlimited ministry. But the only way that came about, the way that came about, is by changing the program from what it was back here to the ministry under Paul's ministry over here. The Apostle Paul is the initiator of the grace of God to the Gentiles. He's the minister of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry was a minister of the circumcision. After the nation Israel rejected him and crucified him, he went away into heaven. And you go through Acts chapter 2, come over to Acts chapter 2. And you see Peter standing up on the day of Pentecost, and you know what he does? He preaches to the nation Israel. He continues the restricted nature of the ministry. And he says in Acts 2 verse 14, "Ye men of Judea, and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words." You say, well, but weren't the Gentiles at Jerusalem? Yeah, they were, and that's why he says, "Ye men of Judea." Verse number 22, he says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words." Acts 2:36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that that same Jesus whom you've crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ." You know what he's saying? The one you rejected, God, is he's raised him and he set him up there at his own right hand as a royal exile. And if you'll receive him, he'll come back and he'll bring his kingdom and he'll establish his kingdom. And in that kingdom, all those blessings, the healing, the deliverance, the removal of the curse and all the rest will be added to you. The times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. You know what Israel did? They said, no way, we don't want him. We told you we didn't want him. And they send the messenger, Stephen, after him and say, we'll not have this man reign over us. You know what God does? Right at the time when the wrath of God, the prophesied wrath, was ready to be poured out, he was ready to come back in flaming fire and take vengeance on his enemies and set up his kingdom and rule with a rod of iron in the midst of his enemies, God interrupted prophecy. He set the nation Israel aside and he introduced a new program through a new apostle with a new message for a new group of people. Come with me to Ephesians chapter number 3. This is thrilling. This is thrilling. You get a hold to this, you see this division in your Bible, this basic distinction in your Bible, and that blessed book will be a different book for you. You fail to see it, and my friend, the Word of God will just be a confusion, and it'll be a burden, and it'll be a heartache, and the blessing and the prophet God put in it for you will never live in your life, and you'll never enjoy it. That's why we keep talking about it. Ephesians chapter 3. "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God that's given me to you ward, to give to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now." You see, this mystery in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. What is that mystery? That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Whereof I am made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles. See that? I'm preaching among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world back here has been hid in God. That's what a mystery is. It's a secret. God kept it hid from everybody else until the time for Christ to reveal it to Paul, and now it's laid down in the pages of the Word of God. The program today is not the ministry that Christ was ministering to the nation Israel. The preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery is the ministry that Jesus Christ gave to Paul, and it's found in Paul's epistles. And what it is that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. You see, we've been reconciled unto God by the cross. We've been reconciled together in one body by the cross. Reconciled to God in one body. That means we've been reconciled to one another. God's taken away the distinction, the restriction, and the ground is level today at the foot of the cross. And anyone, you see, all you need to come to God today, there's never been a day like the dispensation of grace. In time past, it wasn't this way. Now, all you need to come to God is to come through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who went to Calvary and died to pay for everything that's wrong with you and with me. And all we need to have a right standing and to be accepted before God is to come and take our stand by faith in Christ, and to be accepted in the Beloved One, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, complete liberty from sin, complete forgiveness of sin, complete acceptance, the righteousness of God, and have it for keeps, because you have it in His Son. And it's for you. Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant of this. The ministry of God today in the dispensation of grace is for every man. You find that through Paul. But my friend, it's for you. Would you trust Him today? If you never have, recognize what God's Word to you is and trust in it and rest in it. You'll be glad you did. Thanks for listening today and being with us. Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we would like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, How to Know God's Will for Your Life. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during normal business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape number offer 136. That's tape offer number 136. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us today. We trust our study together has been a help to you. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know, and we'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.